A new study in the New England Journal of Medicine indicates the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine maintains a high level of protection against hospitalization and death for at least 6 months. Here's NPR's Joe Palca.
The study looked at more than 900,000 people in Qatar who had received two doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. Although protection against hospitalization and death remained high, the researchers found that protection against coronavirus infection fell considerably, although most of the people who were vaccinated and got infected had no symptoms of disease. In a study from Israel, also in the current issue of the New England Journal of Medicine, researchers found that the levels of antibodies declined steadily in the months after receiving the Pfizer vaccine. Joe Palca, NPR News.
An 18-year-old is in custody in Texas after police say he shot several people in an area high school. Here's KERA's Bill Zeeble.
Police say Timothy George Simpkins opened fire after a fight in a high school classroom. The shooting at Timberview High School left one teenage boy in critical condition. Two others also went to the hospital. Another who was injured refused treatment. By early afternoon, Simpkins had turned himself in and families were able to pick up their children. Candace Jones says she kept her son home from the school once before after a different gun threat.
You can't do that every day. So, I mean, what do parents do tomorrow? What do we do Monday? The fear is still there and it's deep.
Jones says it's time the school started using metal detectors. I'm Bill Zeeble in Dallas.
The Dow is up 102 points today. This is NPR.
We have a crash reported in Brooklyn on Pennington Avenue, south of East Patapsco Avenue, the intersection of Locust Street, where you want to exercise some caution. Also, another accident reported over on Baltimore Annapolis Boulevard, south of Daisy Avenue and Rose Avenue, near Maple Road. You'll want to be safe there as well. We're also trying to recover from another collision reported over on Dolefield Road at the intersection of Reisterstown Road. And we're in very bad shape on Philadelphia Road, northbound. Trying to make your way at the interchange for Pulaski Highway and Summit Avenue. Closures in place due to fire activity reported on Route 7. At the intersection of 66th Street, you'll want to avoid that if at all possible. You find major congestion associated with this issue. You'll also find your off-ramp blocked on 95 northbound with related closure due to this incident at the interchange 440 at exit 61. You'll want to avoid that as well. Now, as far as congestion in the city, Beltway stop and go on the inner and the outer loop topside through Towson. Between the JFX and Paring Parkway. This report is brought to you by Mothers Against Drunk Driving. For more traffic information, log on to SigAlert.com. I'm Taryn Galbraith with your Baltimore area traffic.
88.9 FM reminds you that the views expressed on WEAA programs are those of participants and not necessarily those of Morgan State University, the staff, management, or underwriters of Baltimore's home for cool jazz. WEAA 88.9 FM.
From the Learning Lab at WEAA 88.9 FM on the campus of Morgan State University, the School of Global Journalism and Communication presents the Morgan News Hour.
Welcome to the Morgan News Hour here on WEAA 88.9 FM. I'm Randy Reed, News Director.
I'm Demi Goff, co-host of the Morgan News Hour. Thanks for joining us.
Morgan State University's President Dr. David Wilson is hosting a town hall right now, hearing directly from the student body. We'll take a live listen.
Four people were injured during a shooting at a high school in Texas, what authorities believe to be the cause of the incident.
Mayor Brandon Scott addresses his COVID-19 diagnosis after testing positive on Monday.
Mayor Brandon Scott is speaking after contracting COVID-19 this week. Today, he spoke with television station WJZ about being diagnosed and addressing the fact that he was seen without a mask over the weekend.
In hindsight, I guess for me, it's about even taking my mask wearing to the next level. When you see pictures of me outside without a mask, that's very rare too. Even, you know, from some of the events over the weekend with folks, he didn't have on the mask. There are pictures with me at the same event with a mask on.
Scott remains in isolation at his home. He has also been working remotely.
Now we're going to go live to President Dr. David Wilson's town hall here on the campus of Morgan State University.
COVID, and then also let's say a word or two about our graduation rates and our retention rates and all the things going on there. And then I want to recognize our scholar athletes here in Morgan who actually are doing very, very historic things in the classroom. And then, you know, we too have been leading the way nationally in ensuring that our students stay in school financially. And we are investing millions and millions of dollars into ensuring that that happens. I want to say a word or two about that. Public safety. Yes, you know, we are in a period here in Morgan where it is about public health safety, but it's also about public safety overall. And we haven't taken our eyes off of that either. We are rising as a higher research university. And I just want to say a word or two about some major grants that we've gotten. And then a lot of this is going to be pictorial. I want to show you how we are investing in infrastructure and facilities on campus. This is an ongoing process. We now are eclipsing $800 million in terms of the capital facilities here in Morgan that either are being erected, have recently been completed, or are being planned in terms of groundbreaking. Yes, we're in a period where, believe it or not, we've had a record fundraising year. And I want to say a word or two about some of these transformational gifts that have come our way. And then I want to make sure everybody is up to date with regard to the redevelopment of the Northwood Commons. I mean, you talk about something that is like 30 years in the making. That is it. And it is finally coming to fruition. And then just a quick glimpse, one slide, at Morgan the next 10 years. All right, so here we go. We start always, everyone who is here and who is listening this evening. We know who we are here at Morgan. Our vision is very clear. And it is that we are the premier public urban research university known for excellence in everything we do. And that is not foggy, even though my glasses may be a little bit. This is very, very clear. And we are committed, if you will, to prepare a diverse group of graduates here at Morgan who can dance on the world stage with anyone, any place, any time. And we do that on a very, very strong foundation of our values. And that acronym is LEADER, L-I-I-D-E-R. Leadership, innovation, integrity, diversity, excellence, and respect. And once again, Dr. Banks and I will be making our way around to all of the residential halls on campus, and we'll be having these kind of personal conversations to make sure that all of our students are understanding what each of these values means and what our expectations are. And so, let me start with leadership. We have some leadership changes at the university. One of our values, leadership. And so I want to take this opportunity.
That was Dr. David Wilson. We will rejoin him at his town hall meeting later in the show. For right now, let's get a check on news happening across the region.
A Gwin Oak man is under arrest for his part in a Harford County cockfighting operation. The county sheriff's office says 41-year-old Jose Luis Lopez Villalba was arrested following an investigation into an illegal cockfighting ring. Detectives say their investigation stems from May, when animal control officers busted up the operation on Madonna Road. Officers seized more than 200 birds from the property. Villalba is charged with several counts of animal cruelty, including abusing and neglecting animals and aggravated cruelty to animals. And the first of what is expected to be many meetings on spending federal stimulus money has been held by Baltimore City Council. Tuesday's hearing was meant to decide how to spend millions of dollars in federal COVID relief funding. Officials got a firsthand lesson from the Mayor's Office of Recovery on the application process for nonprofits seeking funding from the $64 million allocated to Baltimore from the American Rescue Plan Act. Under the measure, the money must be distributed by the end of 2024 and spent by the end of 2026. Finally, for the fourth year in a row, Columbia has been named the safest city in America. Wallet Hub, a personal finance website, named Columbia the safest city in the country after looking at 182 cities nationwide. The website ranks the cities based on home and community safety, natural disaster risk, and financial safety. Besides taking the top honors in the survey, Columbia was the only city in Maryland to make the top 100. Baltimore was ranked 165th for overall safety, and Washington, D.C. was ranked 150th. I'm Shine Boggs, reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
Tonight, a chance of sprinkles around 2 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 62, calm wind. Thursday, A chance of sprinkles before 8 a.m. Partly sunny with a high near 77. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 62. Calm wind. Friday, a slight chance of showers after 2 p.m. Partly sunny with a high near 78. Chance of precipitation is 20%. Friday night, a chance of showers, mainly between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 61. Saturday, a chance of showers after 8 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a high near 75. Chance of precipitation is 40%. Saturday night, a chance of showers. Mostly cloudy with a low around 60. Chance of precipitation is 40%. Sunday, a chance of showers. Mostly cloudy with a high near 76. Chance of precipitation is 40%. Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 62. I'm Jasmine Johnson for the Morgan News Hour.
Police what we believe happened preliminary is that there was a fight between a student and another individual.
Suspected of opening fire at his Dallas area high school, leaving four injured this morning. Police say 18-year-old Timothy George Simpkins was taken into custody hours after he fled from the high school. During a press conference, officers described what they believe led up to that shooting.
What we believe happened preliminary is that there was a fight between a student and another individual in a class, and a gun was used, and there are four victims.
Simpkins is charged with multiple counts of aggravated assault with a gun.
President Biden talks about the filibuster rule. American Urban Radio Network's Ebony McMorris reports.
AURN News.
I'm Ebony McMorris.
Oh, I think that's a real possibility.
Those were President Biden's words after returning from Michigan, pushing his Build Back Better plan and pushing for an infrastructure and reconciliation package. What he was commenting on was changing the Senate filibuster rules to raise the debt ceiling. Now, Democrats need all 50 senators to be in support of this in order for it to happen. This is aimed at Republicans who actually want to resist this move. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says that Congress has until October the 18th to raise or suspend the borrowing cap. While pitching his economic agenda in Michigan, the president said that the U.S. is at an inflection point and that America needs to lead.
All those investments that fuel the strong economy, we've taken our foot off the gas. In recent years, China has spent around three times as much on infrastructure as a share of their economy than we have.
For AURN News, I'm Ebony McMorris.
One of the country's biggest banks is now requiring its employees to be vaccinated. Here's the latest in our business and consumer news.
The nation's biggest bank is cracking down on the unvaxxed. J.P. Morgan is banning them from travel and in-person meetings, and starting next year, taking more money out of their paychecks to cover COVID testing costs. An internal memo seen by Business Insider says clients are increasingly asking us to ensure meetings are restricted to the vaccinated, and being vaccinated, it says, is the best way to protect everyone. American homeowners who've had trouble paying their mortgage don't have the government's pandemic protections anymore. Forbearance programs expired at the end of September. CoreLogic estimates more than 1.2 million mortgage holders, or three-quarters of those who applied, have reached the end of the line. Although, says economist Selma Hepp, most should have already worked out a plan with their lender.
Where they could either tack the missed payments to the end of the mortgage or go through some sort of refinancing of lowering mortgage rate and extension of mortgage term.
Those who apply just before the expiration date have three more months to work out a plan. And Hep says while about 16% of those who borrowed could still face foreclosure, we won't see a huge wave of them like we did during the Great Recession. The main reason, rising home prices.
Most all borrowers, you know, only 1% of them that do not have any equity after these missed payments are accounted for. So most borrowers have equity in their homes and, you know, can opt actually for selling their home instead of going through a foreclosure.
But many could then become renters, and renters face a wave of evictions now that federal eviction protections have also ended. Although many rental assistance programs are still operating, the Treasury Department plans to start clawing some of that money back. It's requiring agencies that haven't committed at least 65% of the Emergency Rental Assistance Program funds by now to lay out how they plan to step up their game. And those who haven't spent at least 30% could see it redistributed to governments or agencies that have done a better job. Consumer and Business News, Joe McConnell, NBC News Radio.
Squid Game is a popular show on Netflix. The South Korean thriller is now facing a lawsuit. Student reporter Brigitte McMillan reports.
The number one show on Netflix is facing some backlash. Squid Games, which has people tuning in for the 9-part series, is also giving internet provider fits. They are now dealing with streaming issues of this popular show. The South Korean survival thriller is on the track to becoming the biggest show ever on Netflix. Mickey Hun from New York's Korean Cultural Center says Squid Game is clearly resonating with people.
It's topped the charts not only in the U.S., but in all 83 countries around the world that Netflix is streaming. And it's really become a global phenomenon and put Korean contents, you know, on the map.
But all that popularity comes with a price. More people watching Squid Game means more users online. And that's why an internet provider in South Korea is suing. The company wants the streaming giant to cover costs of increased internet traffic and maintenance. I'm Brigitte McMillan reporting for The Morgan News.
We're going to take a live listen back into the president's town hall that we gave you a preview of a little earlier in the show.
So on campus, we have some historic buildings on the campus. And this particular building, Baldwin and Cummings, they represent some of the early buildings on this campus. So Morgan moved here in 1917. Baldwin and Cummings were some of the first buildings built on the campus during that particular period. And so you can see these buildings have enormous character, and we have renovated them over the years. But for buildings with that type of historic character, you know, you have to continue to renovate and renovate. And so just walk you through.
Blount Tower. So we're joined today with our round table.
I'm Jasmine Johnson. Chardonnay Jackson.
So we were just listening to Dr. Wilson give his town hall presentation. And he's also going to take questions from students, but is there a question that you would ask?
For me, if I was to ask him a question, it would be in regards to, I guess, the COVID procedures later on in the semester, especially with, I guess, the fall graduation. Like, how is that going to be about? Is it going to be virtual or is it going to be in person?
I also think that would be some of my questions as well.
Okay.
And then probably just what is, the, I guess, your further... Going further, what would you do for, like, far as the campus and the students?
Okay. And so I know he's taken a number of questions. I don't know if he's gotten to that yet, but there was – oh, the release yesterday of the homecoming concert. Yeah. Are you happy with it? What do you think?
I'm not really happy with it, I guess, because I don't really listen to the artists that are – arriving on homecoming and performing and everything. I don't really listen to Lil Durk or 42 or anybody else who's coming.
I said 45.
It's 42.
I'm not as excited as I was. I was definitely excited, but I think because we had Lil Durk before while I was here, I'm kind of like, don't know a lot of his songs to be excited. So I'm just going to be there just for the atmosphere.
What about any other homecoming events are you guys looking forward to?
I'm always looking forward to the football game. Mm-hmm. Even though our team isn't the best, I always look forward to the marching band performing. But I will be there to support.
Yeah, I'm excited for the pep rally. That's probably one of the most funnest events out of all to me other than the homecoming game. I don't really go to the homecoming game. I just go like in the quad and when they did have the raise in Tent City and stuff. But it should be different because a lot of stuff is canceled. So we'll see when we get there.
Okay.
All
right. We're going to go to break. So make sure you download the WEAA app and take us with you 24 hours a day. You're listening to WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
On
On Saturday, October 16th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Baltimore Metropolitan Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta and the Gamma Omicron Omega Alumni Chapter of Iota Phi Theta will have a pop-up expungement clinic in the North Barclay Green Community Center at 2026 Greenmount Avenue. There will be on-site legal services to help you get a fresh start by clearing your eligible criminal record. Masks are mandatory and COVID guidelines will be strictly enforced. Pre-registration is preferred, but walk-ins are welcome. For registration and more information, Eventbrite under Pop-Up Expungement Clinic.
All of us want to know what's going on, but only some of us want to know the why, and that's where we come in. 1A is a place for the curious, daily conversations for those looking to make sense of our world. I'm Jen White. I hope you'll join me next time for 1A. That's right here on WEAA Baltimore, 88.9 from 10 p.m. to midnight.
One place, one station for everyday people. From every genre, gospel, jazz, hip-hop, R&B, and neo-soul. A world culture in your face. News, politics. We inform, we educate, and entertain. If it affects you, we feel it too. Morgan State University Radio. We've been here because of you. WEAA 88.9, the voice of the community.
So we're going to go back live to the town hall meeting by Morgan State President Dr. David Wilson.
Universities in the Baltimore area, of which I believe we may have the largest number or close to the largest number now, but you have students there from Johns Hopkins, Loyola, and University of Baltimore, and other locations as well. And then Morgan Temporary Housing. And the temporary housing this year was the Delta Hotels by Marriott, which is located in Cross Keys, a sense of what that property looks like, if you will. And so that is a really quick drive through university-owned housing, university-affiliated housing. And so we need more on-campus housing.
So as we dip in and out of the president's town hall, we still have our students here. And I just wanted to get you guys' opinion because this is his first town hall where he's addressing the campus, the student body, basically. But what we've heard from him as of now is that he's talking about the renovation of some campus buildings, and now he's talking about housing. What do you guys think about the opening of this town hall so far?
I think it's going really well. I'm glad that he's bringing about these issues that have been going on for so long, especially in terms of, I guess, the buildings on campus, like the classrooms, because I've had several classes in, I believe that is Carnegie Hall, and the ceiling was literally leaking. So I'm glad that they're actually having renovations with these buildings and everything.
Yeah, I agree as well with the renovations. I've, like Jasmine said before, I've had classes been canceled for weeks because they were flooded, the ceiling's falling, the floor's falling. But to see that it's getting addressed because the renovations or the problems is really, you can start to see them now, is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. But the one question is that, is this the biggest issue on campus versus, you know, the, I guess, the health concern? Because we've been dipping in and out. We really haven't heard him talk about, you know, the public safety or health concern. So I'm just trying to, I guess, get a gist of this town hall. But is this something that you guys necessarily, and you say you care about it, but is this something that you, like, care about right now? Like, this is pertinent?
I guess right now it's probably not as important, only for the simple fact that they have several guidelines going on, such as a mask mandate, making sure everybody wears masks inside the classroom, as well as those who are not vaccinated, they would have to go for weekly COVID testing. So I think that's one of the reasons why he's not addressing it as much. And that's probably why housing is also one of the, like, most important topics right now, because they admitted so many people this semester, and this is the first semester that we're coming back from COVID. So I guess they're trying to really highlight admission and housing and trying to get all those issues together.
Yeah, I feel like it's not one of the biggest topics that I care about.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for joining us. One Book Baltimore returns for a fourth year featuring writer Tammy Charles and her award-winning novel, Becoming Beatrice, the story of Afro-Latina high schooler Beatrice Mendez, who was traumatized by her brother's death and struggles with realizing her dream of becoming a professional dancer. The Morgan State News Hour spoke with author Tammy Charles about her latest book and the One Book Baltimore event.
I'm joined today by Tammy Charles, author of the book Becoming Beatrice. Welcome to the Morgan News Hour.
Thank you, Randy.
You have an upcoming event that we want to talk about, but first I just briefly want to talk about your background. I see that you're a former teacher and now an author. What made you go into writing children's books?
Well, I've always loved writing ever since I was a little girl. My mom is a retired teacher and principal, so she would always give me books to read growing up. Mm-hmm. And it was just a dream that I had for myself, but I didn't really think I could do it mm-hmm. until I became a teacher. And together, my students and I, we wrote stories together, and they're the ones who kind of said, hey, Miss Charles, you should give this a try. And I'm really happy that I did. They were the ones who encouraged me to follow this dream.
Oh, that's great. And you've written a number of books. How many have you written?
I think I'm at number 20.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah.
So tell me about the book, Becoming Beatrice. What is that about?
So Becoming Beatrice, the theme in this story is resilience, which is the same theme for One Book Baltimore and Enoch Pratt Library. Thanks so much. I just want to shout them out. Mm-hmm. And T. Rowe Price and Baltimore City Public Schools. This particular book, a 15-year-old girl in a gang who desperately wants to turn her life around by becoming a famous dancer like her idol, Lydia Grant, of that TV show Fame. I don't mm-hmm. know if you
yes.
remember it.
Yes, I do.
But it was, you know, that role is played by the legendary Debbie Allen. Mm-hmm. She decides to become someone better. Mm-hmm. And there's that message that I think will resonate with young readers.
Oh, okay. And your event that's coming up, One Book Baltimore, tell me what that is about.
So One Book Baltimore, you know, programs like these are really the hubs of the community, connecting students and families and community members through literature and by reading and discussing the same book. So that's why, you know, it's really such an honor to be a part of this program, to have my book be selected as the community conversation mm-hmm. about resilience. And again, that's run through the Pratt Library and T. Rowe Price, Baltimore Public Schools. So many local organizations come together just to really promote literacy, and it's an honor to be a part of it.
And why are 7th and 8th graders the target?
So my main character, Beatrice, she's 15 years old. She's just starting her freshman year in high school. I think it's important to get these types of messages out to middle schoolers now because this is such a crucial time in their lives where they're starting to think about their future. They're starting to think about who they would like to become. Also, in middle school, that can be a tricky time in life. You know, you make some mistakes.
Yes.
maybe you are a victim of bullying, or maybe you yourself are a bully, very much like my character in Becoming Beatrice. She starts off as a bully, but you see this change throughout the course of the novel. And I think that this is the right time to get that message out to middle schoolers. You have the chance to, you know, be in the driver's seat and navigate your life in all the best ways.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you want to add?
Yeah, you know, I'm just really excited to connect with the kids. We have our launch tomorrow. I hope everyone will tune in. I think it's going to be played from the Pratt Library's Facebook.
Yes, it is.
And
mm-hmm.
their YouTube channel. And I would be remiss if I did not shout out two family friends, Harriet and Raymond Page. They're actually married. They've been married quite a long time. Mm-hmm. And they graduated from Morgan, I think, in 1968 in class of 75.
Oh, okay.
Or 65 and 78. I forget. But they are
yeah.
long mm-hmm. supporters of Morgan. So I wanted to shout them out.
That's great. And so tomorrow the event is the One Book launch is tomorrow virtually. through the Pratt Library's Facebook page and YouTube pages. Again, that's tomorrow at 10 a.m. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Randy.
We are now joined by Tariq Turner, who is a senior here at Morgan State. He is also the sports editor for the Morgan State campus paper, The Spokesman. Tariq, what's going on in sports?
Hello, WEA fam. This is Tariq Turner. Morgan's lacrosse club is trying to become a varsity sport here at Morgan. They feel that club sports are often overlooked. Student reporter Kaisha Hancock has more.
Morgan State University has 12 varsity sports teams, and one team often overlooked is lacrosse. After speaking with the president of the lacrosse club, Kobe Johnson, he shared why he feels lacrosse is the most overlooked sport and what needs to be done for the club to gain more attention.
One reason that lacrosse is overlooked at Morgan is because since lacrosse is such a demanding sport and requires hard work in order to be good, if it's just a club program, you won't get the level of commitment you need to have a successful championship level team.
Right. With lacrosse being such a demanding sport that requires a high level of funding, the lack of equipment and commitment is what causes it to be overlooked. Johnson believes an NCAA lacrosse program should be established where students can receive money for playing. If students are not focused and committed, their money is in jeopardy. It is his hope that Morgan State lacrosse will get back to where it was in 1975, which means being ranked number one and beating schools such as Harvard, Notre Dame, and Washington and Lee. I'm Kasha Hancock reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
The Washington Wizards will have an open practice on Morgan's campus next Monday. In celebration of the NBA's 75th season, the Washington Wizards are returning to their Baltimore roots for their annual open practice presented by Capital One on Monday, October 11th. The event will be hosted in partnership with Morgan State University at the Hill Fieldhouse beginning at 11:30 a.m. Morgan State University students and faculty, as well as local fans, will be able to watch the open practice and scrimmage as the Wizards continue to prepare for the upcoming season. Wizards dancers and G-Wiz will join the entire Wizards roster and coaching staff to celebrate the event. Doors will open at 11:30 a.m. and the first 500 fans in attendance will receive a free collectible t-shirt courtesy of Capital One. Those attending are encouraged to park in the North Campus garage and should enter through the main concourse doors. To RSVP for the event, visit info.washingtonwizards.com/openpractice2021. One of the leaders on Morgan football's defense is sophomore linebacker Lawrence Richardson. He had seven tackles in his team's loss this past Saturday. After the game, I had the opportunity to speak with him.
Like, everybody was pretty down, you know, because it was definitely a game we should have won. I would say that. And so I would say the vibe of everyone was just down. But of course you have, you know, people, you know, to try to, you know, lift people up after the game. Because that's what's important, you know. You want to be ready for the next game. Because you lose some, you win some, but the important thing is that you're ready to, you know, play the next game.
How would you assess the defense's performance today?
I would say the first quarter, we did pretty good. But after that, I would say we just, like, lost our touch after that. Like, it was a lot of, like, missed assignments and, you know, just people not doing their jobs. That's what it was.
What are some things that you guys did well in the first half?
First half is simple. Job of defense is keeping from scoring.
Uh-huh.
And then basically getting three and outs, giving the ball back to the offense.
Were they doing anything different in the second half of their offense?
It seemed like they were working with the same things. They were just switching it up a lot, I would say. And they might have put maybe one or two new things in, but other than that, no, everything was pretty much the same.
So you would just say it was your guys' like mental errors and stuff?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then my last question is, what are some things that you guys can clean up on the defensive side of the ball?
Some things so we can clean up is just – it's really just these mental errors. That's all it really is.
Uh-huh.
Once everybody's locked in and can do their job, we will not have any problems. But, you know, if the mental errors keep happening, that's how the offense is able to score and able to, you know, move the ball. So that's what I would say.
Live sports segment with Kendra Pugh and Tariq Turner. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Very good. So last night, the Red Sox beat the Yankees. What are your thoughts about the game?
I just thought it was a struggle. I knew that the pitcher was going to have some trouble. I feel like he set the tone for the game, and that's the reason why they lost. But also, I think Red Sox is better than just the atmosphere of being at Fenway. It was just too much for the Yankees to handle.
Yesterday I said that Verdugo was going to hit a walk-off single. It didn't even get to come to that, though, because he had three RBIs in the game, so I knew he was going to perform well. Giancarlo Stanton also had a few close home runs, but it wasn't long enough.
Yeah, there was the big blunder, I would say, was the third base coach who...
Yeah, sending Judge home.
Sending Judge home. And then also Gardner... had three strikeouts. He didn't even come to perform. And Garrett Cole? No, is it Garrett?
Yeah, it was Garrett.
How much did we pay him? $300 million? And he couldn't get out of the second inning.
That's the Yankees free.
You know? So, all right. Justin Fields named Chicago Bears starting quarterback. Your thoughts?
I'm happy.
It should have happened.
Okay, go ahead,
Kendra. I just believe it should have just happened week one. Andy Dolan can't win. He hasn't been winning really any much game, any team that he has went to.
Yep.
And they should have just gave him a chance. I know you don't want to throw him out there to the wolves, but whatever option do you have?
Yeah, I'm happy to see Fields get the starting nod now, but it's not going to change anything. They still suck, and yeah.
I mean, I would say, especially with rookie quarterbacks, it's best just to get him out. Mm-hmm. I mean, just
he doesn't have any weapons around him, though.
Right, but I mean, he's going to have to learn
one way or another to
survive. So. One other thing I talk about is ESPN's Sage Steele was suspended over comments about Obama. I didn't hear it, but what was the issue?
She was just saying just a bunch of derogatory stuff. It was about time they suspend her, honestly, because she says a lot of stuff that is out of pocket.
Right, because she's like an anti-vaxxer, which I don't care, but then she got COVID the other day.
Yeah,
right?
I saw that, yep.
Yeah. Go ahead,
and then she said about the fact that Obama's father wasn't really in his life, so he can't be considered black.
Oh, good Lord. She said
she says a lot of
that
stuff.
Was off the wall. Like, what is going on? Like, I know they have some very opinionated people over there, but this is just, it's just the last couple of years have really just take the cake.
Right. I didn't know she said that. Yeah, that does. Yeah. we can go on. They suspended her, which is good. And finally, the Nets are unclear if Kyrie will be able to play due to the vaccination situation. What are your thoughts?
I would say Kyrie probably has a few more years of playing basketball, if any, honestly. He just, he sticks to what he wants to do. And yeah, it's unfortunate because he's not even like telling the Nets if he's going to be there. And now it's all this confusion of whether he's going to be able to play or not. So it's just really unfortunate for the team.
I just think that Kyrie isn't going to do anything that he doesn't want to do, regardless of what Kevin Durant says. I know that he doesn't want to ruffle Kyrie Irving's severance. He's a Libra. That's not what we do. We don't like confrontation. So he's not trying to create confrontation with him, but also he knows that he needs him to win a championship. James Harden can't play defense, and you need to play defense when you're trying to win a final. You're trying to win a championship. You need to learn how to play defense, which he doesn't know. We saw him struggle. I know he's injured, but you really need Kyrie Irving if you want to win a chip.
Isn't this like a distraction? I mean, something needs to be done.
Yeah,
the
but
season's
he's,
getting ready to start.
He's been a distraction for most of his. Well, I want for the back end of his career, at least, for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you guys for joining us tonight on the Sports Chat. You're listening to the number one streaming station in Baltimore, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
Saturday night doesn't end at midnight. This is DJ Patrick Scientific, and no matter where you are, the party still continues every Saturday night here from midnight until 5 a.m. We bring you the same great music that you know and great music that you don't know. Local, national, and international. house, hip-hop, drum and bass, and so much more. So make sure you tune into the Audio Infusion every Saturday night here on WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.
From Randallstown to Greenbelt and everywhere in between, we're loud and kicking. The voice of the community, WEAA 88.9 FM.
Welcome back to the Morgan News Hour here on WEAA 88.9 FM. We've been checking in with President Dr. David Wilson's town hall all evening. We want to get another live listen in.
Michaela Harris. Yay. Let's give another round of applause to Michaela. Michaela is in the School of Global Journalism and Communication. And she, of course, I'm sorry, this is Chloe. Michaela. Actually just won this incredibly competitive national scholarship. She earned the astronaut scholarship. This was put on our radar about 4 years ago. They had never had a student from an HBCU win that scholarship. And Morgan has won it 2 times in a row. And so Ms. Harris won it. And we actually did a story on her. And for our students, I want you to go to our website, and I want you to read this young lady's story. It is absolutely amazing. It is so inspiring. It is so motivating. And so hats off to Ms. Michaela Harris. Likewise, our students in the School of Global Journalism and Communication, they continue to win these amazing national prizes. Be it a Wall Street Journal competition, a New York Times competition, all of these competitions. And so Chloe has won the Robert F. Kennedy Journalism Award, one of the top student awards in that field in the country. Likewise, our doctoral student was named Teacher of the Year in Baltimore County Public Schools. We are so proud of soon-to-be Dr. Ross and she is out there on the front lines making sure.
And now let's take a look at the weather around our region.
Tonight, a chance of sprinkles around 2 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 62, calm wind. Thursday, a chance of sprinkles before 8 a.m. Partly sunny with a high near 77. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 62, calm wind. Friday, a slight chance of showers after 2 p.m. Partly sunny with a high near 78. Chance of precipitation is 20%. Friday night, a chance of showers, mainly between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 61. Saturday, a chance of showers after 8 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a high near 75. Chance of precipitation is 40%. Saturday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 60. Chance of precipitation is 40%. Sunday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 76. Chance of precipitation is 40%. Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 62. I'm Jasmine Johnson for the Morgan News Hour.
Okay. In a special entertainment segment earlier today, I got the chance to speak with actress, dancer, and advocate Candace Maxwell about her new role in Tyler Perry's All the Queen's Men, streaming now on BET+. Tell me a little bit about the show All the Queen's Men and your character, Dime.
Okay, well, All the Queen's Men is a show set in the world of a male exotic strip club. So Madam owns the club, and you get to meet her and her band of trusted employees as they go through the trials and tribulations of owning this kind of seedy, sexy lifestyle. And it's a great place where women can come and have the time of their life and release all their inhibitions. So it's set at Club Eden, and Eden is basically where the majority of our show takes place. So whenever we're watching the show, we want our fans to feel like they're in the club partying with us. It's very atmospheric.
Ooh, that sounds really cool. And I'm pretty sure you guys have a lot of fun there on set. So tell us about your character, Dime. She's a DJ?
Yes, Dime is Madam's protege. So Madam is raising her up to not only be able to manage the club, which she's currently doing, but branch off, start her own club. And I also DJ Dime, DJs in the club. So she works as the MC. She hypes up the ladies. She basically knows the club inside and out, and also provides like the hottest tunes for the guys to dance to. So
it's like, so it's basically like it's a dance club for women, like as if it were, I'm going to say a strip club for men.
Yeah. No, basically. So we're basically like flipping gender roles upside down. Usually you see men in power owning these clubs, owning the sexuality. And in this case, it's the woman in charge. Madam's in charge. Dime's in charge. Blue is in charge. We run this place. The woman bring the money. Mm-hmm. The woman bring the power. And the guys are the sex objects in this club. So it's crazy. But I will say that we definitely humanize the male dancers in the show. You get to understand why they do what they do and their world and what it takes to do it. So I always kind of say our show is a little bit of P-Valley and a little bit of Power. And if they came together and they had a baby, that's the Queens Men.
That's pretty cool because Power and both Power and P-Valley are pretty awesome shows. But let's talk about what does it feel like to be in a power position on the show? Have you ever played a role like this before?
It's completely different than anything I've ever played. I will say that. Dime brings heart and sweetness to the show, which I love, because especially if you've seen the episodes yet, it's kind of there's a lot of like seedy stuff going on. There's guns, there's money laundering, there's drugs, there's a judge is bribing someone. So Dime just has this innocence and this great heart that, you know, she brings to the table, but she also is in power, and the club wouldn't run without her. So she's a boss in her own right. And I loved getting to play somebody with that, like with having that in mind, that she really she means so much to this world. It wouldn't operate without her.
That is pretty awesome. Now, tell me, how I know that you are a dancer, that's your background. How were you able to immerse the worlds here? Like, because music and dance kind of go together. And then also you have those male dancers there. So is this something that, you know, that you're comfortable with going into playing your character?
let me tell you a funny story. So we filmed in the bubble at Tyler Perry Studio. So we filmed at the bubble. We basically all lived with each other there. You couldn't leave. So once you go there for filming, you're locked in. You live there. You see each other all day, every day. But I knew that Dime had to be really comfortable with the level of sexuality in the club. Like, it's very heightened. And it was funny because I knew that, like, one, we, like, have a lot of male nudity in our show. We show everything. So I remember the first, we show a lot.
Okay.
So the first day that I was filming with the guys, I was like, hey, guys, I'm like, I'm supposed to be your boss. So I was like, I kind of need to be comfortable. And I was, like, blushing and just cracking up, like, seeing them, like, buffed up and oiled up. I was like, this is hilarious. I took me some time to get used to them, but now I'm like, okay, whatever, you guys are just beefcakes when I'm used to seeing them every day,
right? Like, exactly.
But I will say the music, like being a dancer, definitely helped, because there were moments where, you know, luckily I got to get up on stage and freestyle as the MC and like and get involved with the crowd. So there was a level of like comfortability that I had within myself to be able to connect with, you know, the ladies of Eden who are there watching the show, and to be able to like manage the DJ booth and the music and hype the guys up. Cause I'm the hype woman for the guys. Like, right. I'm there. I'm like, you know, like say they're the rapper, they're the star, I'm the hype person. I'm the one like, ladies, get your money out, get your textbooks out.
Right.
You know, like I'm the one like turning the place up. So having a dance background was great, and it was great because I could connect to the guys and go over their, you know, help them go over their routines and anything that they had any issues with, because a lot of the guys aren't trained dancers. They are from the male exotic world, but doing routines were different for them. So it was really great to be there with them on their journey and help support them.
Oh, so a little bit of Magic Mike here happening too.
Yeah, a little bit of Magic Mike. You could say that too.
Okay. Yeah. So what was it like living in the bubble in Tyler Perry Studios?
Oh, I loved living in the bubble. It was such a special experience. We got to spend, we were there December 2020, and then end of March through like the beginning of April, we spent Easter there. So Tyler really set it all up. Everybody had their own amazing home to stay in.
Oh, my goodness.
There was like, we had food trucks when we wrapped at night. We had like an alcohol truck we could go to for 2 hours after and like unwind and have drinks. And there was catering. It was just awesome. Like, I felt like I was at college. Like, it literally, I was like, I'm at an HBCU right now. But aside from that, like, we're working our butts off. We're working like 12, 14 hour days, but we just all bonded. It was so special. Like, normally you shoot a show, you film your scenes, you go home, but having to live with everybody just made our tasks that much closer and gave us this really natural chemistry that I believe we all brought to life on camera.
So like a family atmosphere where you guys were all together. That is really awesome. And it's so cool that you got to experience that. Now, I want to know, because you mentioned that Dime has a lot of heart. Would you say that Dime is different than yourself?
I think she definitely has a different life and a different background than me. Her voice is different. Her personality is a little different. But I think at the heart of it, I have a lot of heart, and I wanted to bring that to her. So, yeah, I think there's always similarities and commonalities that you find with the character. But then you also want to layer it and build someone who's different. And I was able to build, you know, even from down from the wardrobe was so pivotal in this show. Our hair and makeup team did an amazing job. Our wardrobe did an amazing job because it's so stylized. And I know, I don't know if you've gotten to watch the show yet, but I feel transported to another world. I don't feel like I'm here. I feel like I'm in the world of Eden. So the wardrobe, the hair, the styling, the music, it all comes together to kind of just elevate these characters.
And I think that is, honestly, that's really cool. Like, I think that's how it should be. When you are on set, you should feel like you are there and nowhere else. Now, was it difficult for you to prepare for this role? I'm not sure if I asked you that question already.
You know, it definitely had its challenges preparing for the role. I will say the biggest thing is that Tyler's team moves really fast. So there was a limited time to do my research. Also, we were in COVID, so I would have wanted to go to a male exotic club, meet the MC, meet the DJ, talk to the woman. So I didn't get to immerse myself the way that I normally would. I had to watch videos. I had to talk to the guys. We had a great consulting producer on set, Mike Strong, who comes from that world. So, you know, he was kind of coaching me through different things. But it was difficult in that I had a very short amount of time to do it and that I didn't get to do as much research as I wanted to. But I will say that, again, once everything came together, it all just clicked.
Yeah. So I hear that you just mentioned it, that Tyler Perry, you guys have like a short amount of time. How long did it take you guys to film just one episode?
Well, you know, it's weird because we don't shoot sequentially. Like, we're not shooting one, two, three. We do block shooting, basically, where you jump around. So we'll shoot, like, elements, like, scenes from episode one, then we'll go to episode four, then we'll go back to episode three. And we were filming two tracks at a time. So, like, while people were filming episode three, some people would be outside filming scenes from episode five. So when I say that you have to be so organized, you have to know your lines, you have to know your character inside and out, you have to be willing to make changes, willing to go with the flow, willing to make adjustments. It's unlike anything I've ever shot before. It's just fast and it's focused and it's intense. It was also freezing when we were shooting, and I always had this little skirts and little dresses on. Mm-hmm. So I'd be shivering when they said cut and then action. And I'm like,
gotta get back into character. Yes.
Yeah. So it was not the easiest filming situation.
Tell us how we can watch All the Queen's Men and when does it air?
Okay. So all 10 episodes of All the Queen's Men are currently streaming on BET+. So everything is out. You're going to be able to see everything. And we are diligently working to make season 2 happen. People are already like, where is season 2? So the reaction that we got from the fans of like, has been crazy. Like, you know how Twitter is.
Yes.
Twitter has had our back so strong. They're rocking with us. I'm so surprised. Like, I was waiting for Twitter to come for us.
Because sometimes Twitter, yeah, I was going to say, sometimes Twitter is a tough crowd, so that's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I will say Tyler's fans really came through, but also, like, we're getting fans. I think the show is getting more and more press, and people are slowly starting to know it and notice it, and we're going to go bigger and, like, badder for season 2. But right now, get caught up, because we're currently working. So BET+, it's all there. There's like a 3-day, like a 7-day free trial. And then after that, it's like $10 a month, but get on BET+. Yeah, it's great. There's some other good shows, but our show's the best.
So tomorrow I'll have part 2 of my interview with Candace Maxwell, and I dig a little deeper into her hobbies and community endeavors. This was a really great interview. She was very sweet, and I'm just happy that she let me ask her, you know, particular personal questions. So mm-hmm. I'm really excited about the next part of the interview.
Right, because she does a lot of good work in the community.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So. Yeah. I want to thank you all for joining us tonight on the Morgan News Hour. I'm Randy Reed.
And I'm Demi Goff. Thank you so much, y'all. Have a good night.
Our production tonight was brought to you by the students in the School of Global Journalism and Communication right here at Morgan State University. In our learning lab right here at the studio of WEAA 88.9 FM, led by Dean Jacqueline Jones and station manager Robert Shahid. Thank you to our student reporters, Shania Butler, Kaisha Hancock, Chardonnay Jackson, Zakiya Jennings, Jasmine Johnson, Rochelle Keaton, David Lance, Gabriel Ortiz, Kendra Pugh, Tariq Turner, and Kara Williams. An extra special thanks to Andre Melton and Sean McBean for engineering the show tonight.